Wake up. Catch anybody? All right, question. Have you ever felt neglected by God? My aunt Janet lives in Indiana, and I said something about getting me back in church yelling at God, and she said, shouldn't we be, you know, having God yell at us to wake us up? And I was like, well, yeah, but, you know, the writer of Psalm 80 was kind of doing the opposite. The writer of Psalm 80 seems to have felt like they were neglected by God. God, where are you? Things are not going so well here. What are you thinking? How could you let all this stuff happen? You've done great things before, so how come you're not doing it now? There's devastation everywhere. People are dying. People are sick. Every one of those sick or dying people is a child of someone who is inconsolable. What's wrong with you? Could you look over here? Could you do something about all this? Stir up your might. Save us. Come on, God, wake up. You ever prayed like that? I think in our upbringing in Christianity, especially maybe from my generation and older, we wouldn't think of doing that. You don't yell at God. But the writer of Psalm 80 did. I know the presentation we gave gives it this beauty and the response. Listen to what they were singing. Stir up your might. Stir up your will. See, Psalm 80, it isn't a my life is in shambles, please fix it, God, psalm. It's a the whole community is in shambles, lament. This lament, it's a passionate expression of sorrow or grief. And the writer of Psalm 80 is experiencing sorrow and grief within the whole community. So we've got corporate lament. That's a passionate community expression. The hymn book, the Psalms are filled with corporate laments. They're also filled with personal laments. That's a passionate personal expression. That's when we pray that prayer. God, this is awful. Can you help? And sometimes they're all woven together. There's a translation of Psalm 80 that comes from Eugene Peterson, and it's in The Message. We've read from The Message before, and you can find it. It's in our library downstairs. I've got several copies in my office. But it's still several years old now. But it has a very modern and very different look at the way the scriptures are speaking. It's a paraphrase. The wording isn't at all near the same. It's just trying to get that message across. Here's what it says. Listen, shepherd, Israel's shepherd, get all your Joseph sheep together. Throw beams of light from your dazzling throne so Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh can see what they're doing. Get out of bed. You've slept long enough. Come on the run before it's too late. Remember how you brought the young vine from Egypt, cleared out the brambles and briars, and planted your very own vineyard? You prepared the good earth. You planted her roots deep. The vineyard filled the land. Your vine soared high and shaded the mountains, even dwarfing the giant cedars. Your vine ranged west to the sea, east to the river. So why do you no longer protect your vine? Trespassers pick its grapes at will. Wild pigs crash through it and crush it, and the mice nibble away at what's left. O God of the angel armies, turn our way. Take a good look at what's happened and attend to this vine. Care for what you once tenderly planted, the vine you raised from a shoot. And those who dared set it on fire, give them a look that will kill. Then take the hand of your once favorite child, the child you raised to adulthood. We would never turn our back on you. Breathe life into our lungs so that we can shout your name, God. God of the angel armies, come back, smile your blessing, smile. That will be our salvation. At St. Paul's, We're not the same congregation that we were in 1990, 1975, 2000, 2005, 2010, 2015. We might look at, God, what are you doing? Or maybe we're saying, what are we doing? Or maybe we're saying, what's wrong with Downers Grove? Or maybe we're saying, what's wrong with us? All of these things, and we try all kinds of things. And this is, you know, the physical plant. It's beautiful. It's different. But there's a, well, it's comfortable to sit. I can preach for 45 minutes, and you won't fall asleep. Wake up. No. We're allowed to have the feelings that we have. And it's not just us. I mean, we come from this position of, we're a congregation that's been around for a long time, and we're wondering what happens next and what happens now. There are people throughout the world who are wondering, am I going to live throughout the day? And I know it's not fair to compare. All of our feelings are valid, and all of us can express real, raw, passionate sorrow or grief. We can also express real, raw, passionate, exuberant joy. This psalm, though, it's sorrow and grief, real, raw, and passionate. And we can ask questions like, God, wake up. How could you let so many people die in the 250 mass shootings in the U.S. this year? How could you let all those people die in massive flooding throughout the globe, in India, Vietnam, Nepal, Iran, Pakistan this year? How could you let another 3,000 people go homeless in Bangladesh just overnight in the fire that raced through the shanty village? How can you let so many people die in Chicago every weekend, every day? How can you let your children die? How can you possibly let that kind of devastation happen to anyone? Get out of bed, God. You've slept long enough. Come on the run before it's too late. Too much poverty. Too much hunger. Too many are homeless. Get out of bed, God. You've slept long enough. Come on the run before it's too late. Floods, famine, violence. Get out of bed, God. You've slept long enough. Come on the run before it's too late. People are responding to each other with hate, God. They're angry, and they're saying and doing awful things to one another. They're making up things to scare people. Humanity's sense of care, forgiveness, acceptance, tolerance, and love seems to have evaporated. Get out of bed, God. You've slept long enough. Come on the run before it's too late. Smile your blessing. Smile, God. That will save us. Is it okay to say that to God? Not sure, but I know that the psalmist pretty much did. I know that God hears our prayers. I wish I had the answer for all of the devastation, for all of it. And it's too easy to say, well, God has a good plan, and God's plan is that everything would go right, and we've messed it up, and therefore it's all our fault. It's not. It's not that. There are too many good people doing good things in the world to say that that's what's happening. It's too much to understand. One of the things we can do is we can cry out. It's not the only thing we can do. We've got to use our feet, use our hands, use our minds, use the letters that we write, use our presence to make a difference in the world. We can call out to our God who understands. People have been writing psalms of lament since writing happened. Since before Christianity happened, people have been writing psalms of lament. And about maybe 55 years ago, there were some English musicians who wrote a psalm of lament. And I want to close this morning's sermon with a little psalm of lament from some British musicians from about 50 years ago. I'm removing your capo, Marty. And Ray, I'm turning on this guitar. Help. I need somebody help, not just anybody help. You know, I need someone help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, never needed anybody's help in any way. But now those days are gone, and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind, I've opened up the door. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate your being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me, help me, help me. Ooh. Oh God, help us. Stir up your might. Come on the run before it's too late. Restore us. Amen.